Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The IRS agrees not to enforce the so-called Johnson Amendment against churches, but now some groups are pushing back. We're going to be talking about it on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead.
You know, we've been talking for years that churches have the freedom to be able to share and talk about political issues, political candidates, but most of them have been muzzled or felt muzzled, let's say that way, because of this Johnson Amendment.
Yes, we have published a lot of information about this issue, and the only case that is out there regarding a church that clearly crossed the line is the church at Pierce Creek in Binghamton, New York. And that specifically took out full-page ads in the USA Today and the Washington Times opposing then-Governor Bill Clinton for president. And then after he was elected, the IRS came after that church and said that they had crossed the line, which they clearly did. They endorsed, in this case, opposed a candidate for office. And that was clearly prohibited by the 1954 Johnson Amendment.
And they never lost their tax exempt status.
But they still never lost their tax exempt status. And that's the interesting thing, is that they clearly violated the Johnson Amendment. They lost their letter. The IRS revoked their letter. But churches are very unique compared to other 501c3 organizations. They don't need a tax-exempt letter to be considered tax-exempt. They just need to operate like a church. So from the very first day that a church convenes or assembles, it automatically has tax exemption by the IRS because it's exempted from the code.
And, you know, I think many churches don't understand these are not political per se issues. These are biblical issues that we're discussing, whether it's abortion or immigration or any of these issues. They need to be talking about those regularly and also saying, well, so-and-so candidate is along the same lines as what we believe in.
Yeah, that's right. And so that's what this church was doing, is abortion was a biblical and is a biblical issue. They were addressing that, and Bill Clinton was in favor of abortion. And so they were talking about it. And the IRS actually restricts churches from doing that under this 1954 Johnson Amendment. This amendment came to be when Senator Johnson was running in the Texas Democratic primary for U.S. Senate, and he was behind, and they had to then go to a runoff. They were essentially tied, and then all of a sudden, magically, these ballots appeared in box 13, the ballot box 13. They were all in order, written by the same handwriting, and then lo and behold, Johnson squeaked out a win by about 87 votes, and that's what ultimately propelled him to the United States Senate and eventually to the president position in the White House.
So cheating's been happening for many years in these elections.
Within these elections, no question about it. And so when he got into office as a vendetta against the nonprofits who opposed him, that's when he introduced the Johnson Amendment. That was designed specifically to silence these nonprofit organizations and leaders from taking a position on candidates. It was a vendetta to silence them. And since then, from 1954, it's been used to intimidate. And as the case of the church at Pierce Creek really, you know, exemplifies, while there really is no enforcement teeth to this Johnson Amendment, because, again, that church did not lose its tax-exempt status. In fact, the District Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia said it's just more symbolic than substantive to have a letter. Churches don't need a letter, so therefore taking the letter doesn't take their tax-exempt status. But it is a threat, and it is being used as a threat. And churches and pastors get nervous because they think, well, if they speak out on these issues, even though they're biblical, they'll lose their tax-exempt status.
And they're doing a great disservice to their people, you know, by staying muzzled like that. I mean, we've talked to so many great pastors that are, they do a special service around election times. You know, Gary Hamrick in Virginia, he does a special service around election times, and he uses, I think, wall builders materials to talk about this. These are biblical issues that we're discussing.
And in fact, that's what Dr. Jerry Falwell, the late Dr. Jerry Falwell, said before January 23, the day after Roe versus Wade, 1973, he had a sermon called Ministers and Marches, in which he was advocating that ministers should not be marching. They should be behind the pulpit preaching the gospel. But then on January 23, when he opened up the News and Advance newspaper and he read about Roe versus Wade, that happened just the day before, he realized this is a biblical issue, mm-hmm. and he has no choice but to get involved. And that's how he got very involved in the political arena, and that was the beginning of the birth of the Moral Majority in 1979.
Well, you know, you think about years ago when they had the Black Robe Regiment, and that's exactly that. These pastors were up there preaching, they took off their robes and they went to fight in war. Well, that's exactly what we're doing now. These pastors should be preaching on these issues and then helping equip people to fight the spiritual battle that we're in.
Well, at the beginning of the program, we mentioned that there's some pushback regarding this IRS agreement. The National Religious Broadcasters filed suit against the IRS over this Johnson Amendment, and the two parties agreed to an order, and the order has been submitted to a federal court in Tyler, Texas, for approval. And what that order essentially says is that churches can address political issues, and they can endorse or oppose candidates from the pulpit, just like if you're sitting around in a family discussion talking about politics around the table. It's as natural to do that there as it would be in that particular setting. And so that is where the situation is. But that order has not been approved yet by the judge. Why? Because there are some organizations that don't want the IRS to enter into this agreement. And they have filed briefs and motions to intervene, including Americans United for Separation of Church and State.
No surprise there.
Yeah, no surprise, because they want to silence churches, particularly conservative churches.
Right.
They're fine with liberal churches that want to support liberal candidates, but they want to silence conservative churches, and so they're opposing it. The National Religious Broadcasters Convention has reached out to Liberty Counsel. We are filing an amicus brief on behalf of this particular consent decree. We've got approval to file the brief from the IRS and from NRB. And we just filed it late last week in the court. And we are arguing that the judge should approve this order between NRB and the IRS, which clearly indicates that the IRS is interpreting the Johnson Amendment to allow pastors and other leaders in the church to oppose or support from the pulpit candidates running for elected office.
You know, and I love a part of what this memo said, bona fide communications internal to a house of worship between the house of worship and its congregation in connection with religious services do neither of those things any more than a family discussion concerning candidates. Thus, communications from a house of worship to its congregation in connection with religious services through its usual channels of communication on matters of faith do not run afoul of the Johnson Amendment as properly interpreted.
And when it says do none of those two things, it's talking about language or words from the Johnson Amendment that talk about political intervention or interference with the outcome of an election. That kind of communication does not implicate the Johnson Amendment. And in fact, if it did, it violates the First Amendment. I think the Johnson Amendment, from the very moment it was introduced, violates the First Amendment. You know, you would think Americans United for Separation of Church and State, you would think that they would want the state out of the church.
That's kind of ironic.
But what they really want is they want the church out of existence.
Exactly.
And so if they really did believe in, quote, separation of church and state, the last thing they would want is have the IRS tell a pastor from the pulpit what can be spoken from the pulpit during a church service.
Absolutely.
That's the epitome of church-state separation.
Unshackle the pulpits.
Get the government out of the pulpits. Get the government out of micromanaging doctrine. Get the government out of the communications that happen in a church service. IRS has no business there. It's unconstitutional. But this really exposes the Americans United organization for what it really is, and it's a very anti-Christian, anti-faith organization that has only one purpose, and that's not to preserve, quote, separation of church and state. It's to eliminate people of Christian, particularly evangelical, faith from the marketplace.
Right.
So pray for this case. It's not over yet. You've heard or you've read some places about this great order or this agreement from the IRS, and it's a great first step, but we need to get the judge to sign it to make it enforceable. Right now, That's still pending. That decision will come later this month. We just filed a brief in this case arguing that the judge should sign it because this does violate the First Amendment. Moreover, there also are legislative proposals in Congress to repeal the Johnson Amendment, and these particular pieces of legislation follow the language that came out of a commission that I served on in 2011-2013 to repeal this Johnson Amendment. It's time to permanently remove it. For more information, go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org.